Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
mayor dumi es chubi, es chumigua, es chubanfio, si can periquito, perequitín en bolo, bombo arao no de chutolú, bombo arao no y cola bari, sola pedroso, bombo arao no, toda la ciencia con las balagua, molegua, que están en el mundo, la verdad, en belés son los dumari. El igual arroyo, vara el ayiquío, vara atento, nuto, nu manico, manico, dolo, y cuye letra. Para aquí el lo chafra la goma con la mucuata, padre mío celestial, la goyama la sin cancumi. Aquí está su modo usted, chubanigüe, rindiéndole moforimbala y ahí el dumbo que el dum. Que la bendición de mi padrino Salaco siempre me acompañe, y que la bendición de usted siempre me acompañe, con Ávila Sodi de. Páguenos libre de cuaraye, y ya tillabo, vos sos burló, el uno fun fun. Todas las cosas malas que hay en el plano de la tierra, padre mío celestial, usted no libre.
Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. You are listening now live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Hudu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic. From a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, and my work along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding. The place from where I begin and the place from where I realize and crystallize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny. And I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is. Ashe, Ashe, and Asheo. Today is Ifa Wednesday. Olo Dumare Moki Loni Mowo Gun Marin Aye, Mother, Father, Creator God. I greet the new day. I greet and honor the four directions that create the world. And I am now emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally from this working temple of the house of the Divine Prince. Thai Mecca, Thai Potions, and Hoodoo Central in this legendary, historic, beautiful, and most enchanted city in America, New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist Hoodoo Obeya life path and journey, passing down the great Obeya stick along with the knowledge of healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, and minerals. I appreciate you. I am humbled and honored by your continued support here live each and every day at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time and always, always in archive at your leisure and convenience here on blogtalkradio.com/ The Divine Prince. It includes the hyphen between The Divine Prince in your URL address. My listen-in and call-in number is area code 347 215-896-7347, 215-896-7. If you have a question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and we will be more than happy to take your question, comment, or request. Awo Ojalola Achani Ifasakin will be forward with me momentarily here on Ifa Wednesday. I'm not quite sure if Awo Oregunwa has returned from his Ogu journey, but we do appreciate your questions, comments, and requests at 347-215-8967. I will be doing roll call here on Ifa Wednesdays after this song. Roll call, I go to each line, I will announce your area code, we will give you a peace and greetings and your name. This will help me to identify everyone online personally rather than have a switchboard or phone number. And this will help the show to sort of flow more smoothly. So even if you just have a question, comment, or request, just say who you are and where you're calling from, and then you have a question or a comment, and then we will come back to you when we start to take our phone calls from the switchboard. So I'm going to play one more song, then we're going to do roll call, then we're going to bring forward Awo Ifa Sakin, and then we will enjoy Ifa Wednesday together here on Block Talk Radio, Power Lunch, Hoodoo, Voodoo, New Orleans Secrets and Recipes with the Divine Prince. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe. Divine, all blessed. Again, I am truly honored and humbled, appreciative by your continued support each and every day here at High Noon U.S. Central Standard Time for the Power Lunch. Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo, Secrets and Recipes with the Divine Prince. I truly also am grateful for your continued support of IFA Wednesdays here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm now going to go to the phone lines and do roll call. Area code 478, who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hey, Kassan, all this is Baba Oje Lola Ajani Fashakin, and once again, very pleased to be here and happy to share this time with you and with our listening audience. Ashe.
Ashe. Area code 610, who's calling and where are you calling from?
This is Gamora Azor Zelu Tefun, Moonstone Shadow Wolf, calling from Philadelphia, PA.
Greetings. I'm indeed honored to have both of you present here with me on EFI Wednesdays and would appreciate both of your continued support and dialogue as we move forward now in the show. I'm going to allow Baba Ifa Sakin to go first. He and I have sort of had the opportunity to communicate, if you will, about today's show topic. So I want to be sure to allow him to say what he will and what spirit would have him to bring to sort of set a foundation for moving forward in the show. And again, as always, I invite each and every one of you to participate by calling area code 347-215-8967 and do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad when you are prepared with your question, comment, or request. All is truly and indeed a blessing. I will Ifa Sakin Bawani.
Okay. I'm doing well, thank you. I pray that you are doing well also. I want to give thanks first to Olodumare without whose blessings nothing at all would be possible if we would not even exist. Give thanks to Oromila, second only to Olodumare, who gives us great guidance and blessings, and who is more efficient than any medicine, Ashe. Give thanks to the messenger Eshu, and to you all, Orisha, all Orumale, and especially at this time to our ancestors.
Ashe.
It is our ancestors that we are focusing on today during this show. In the 4-day traditionally fire worship cycle, yesterday was the day of the ancestors. Today is the day of Ifa, in which Orumila and Oshun Eshu are honored on this day. As I said, yesterday was the day of Egogold, but on today's show we're focusing on Egogold, our ancestors, and we're focusing on the concept of bringing ancestral reverence and honor back into our everyday lives, and recognizing the importance of our ancestors. And we're, of course, looking at this from an ATR, African Traditional Religion, perspective, but the ancestral reverence, honoring the ancestors, extends beyond ATR. It is really should be part of everyday life for every person, regardless of their religion, their culture, their ethnic background. Because without our ancestors, we would not exist. And if somebody had to come before us in order for us to be born. And somebody had to establish customs and traditions in order for us to have a path to follow. And this is where, you know, our ancestors are so extremely important. We cannot justifiably go forth without, you know, giving reverence to our ancestors and recognizing all that they have done for us, for our families, in order for us to be at the point where we are now and have the opportunity to go forward. I want to touch on an incident with a friend of mine. And this is an old friend who I've known since I was about like maybe 4 or 5 years old. And so that means I've known this friend, this old buddy of mine for a good 45, 46 years. And he was opposed to taking part in a brief prayer honoring the ancestors. He's a born-again Christian, and his response in taking part in this was just that, you know, if it's not honoring Jesus and praising Jesus, uplifting his name, that he can have no part in it. And I asked him, I said, well, you mean to tell me that if your mother were to die, you would not do something to honor her spirit after she's dead? And his response was, no, my mother knows I'm a born-again Christian. She's a born-again Christian. And unless we're praying to uplift the name of Jesus, you know, there's nothing that I need to do or will do, you know, as far as you know, any type of you know, praise. And I said, well, you know, there's nothing in Christianity that bars you from honoring your ancestors. That's true. You should put your ancestors before God, before the supreme being. But you are not barred from honoring your ancestors. You are actually encouraged, and not just encouraged, but mandated to honor your parents. And he just totally did not agree. But I want to point out, this is something that actually what I'm going to do is read a statement that I had posted on Facebook a while back. I think I originally posted it in February, and I reposted it on July 2nd. And that is, Inifa, paying homage to our ancestors is part of everyday life. Occasionally, I get some ridicule from Christian friends who say it's wrong to praise the spirits of dead relatives. They say it's the same as worshiping false gods. Yet the Christian Bible states as the fifth of the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There's nothing in the Ten Commandments or any other biblical passage that states that honoring one's parents must stop when their earthly lives stop. In Ifa, we honor our parents always, regardless of whether our parents are still bound in living human flesh or they have passed on. And further evidence of this in traditional Yoruba culture is that the dead are buried, our dead relatives are buried within the family compound. And not only within the family compound, but so long as there is space, they are buried within the home. For example, there was one compound I visited, and there was a room, it had been a living room, and it was an old-style house where, you know, it's made of mud brick, and still had dirt floor. And in that dirt floor, ancestors of the family were actually buried. And that living room was a room where they would go in to pray with the ancestors and to honor the ancestors. Now, this family had lived on this compound for well over 100 years. I think that family had been there for at least 200 years. So they had the corpses of their ancestors not only buried in that living room, but also buried throughout the compound. And it was really an amazing and beautiful thing to see. I saw this on my first trip to Nigeria, which was in 1999 when I was initiated into Ifa. And it just seemed very amazing to me, coming from the United States, where we bury our dead out in cemeteries. And in the Yoruba culture, generally, it's considered a disgrace to bury your beloved relatives outside of your family compound. The only time you might do that deliberately is if you have somebody who had totally disgraced the family. But aside from that, you would bury the bodies of your beloved family members within your compound, if not within the house. So I just wanted to bring that out to get us started, that honoring your parents does not stop with the end of their physical life. It is ongoing. And in the Yoruba culture, in the Ifa tradition, your family is always your family, whether they are among us in this physical life or they have passed on to the afterlife, they have passed on to heaven. They are still our family, and they are still loved and treated as family. And I'll pause there and let somebody else comment. Ashe,
and indeed that is the same basic frame of reference that I was given in Hoodoo, in Obia, in terms of our eternal connection, really, to the ancestors in the realm of the ancestors. To speak in Hoodoo terms, not to violate any of the mystery system, the cycle of life is a circle, and to include it in that circle is the realm of the ancestors. So we ask the question, well, who is closest to that realm of the ancestors? And we point to our children and to our elders. And this has been disconnected in terms of how we interact with ourselves in this community, in this society, under these, you know, foreign structures of religion. So we've not only neglected our ancestors, but we neglected ourselves in that process. And we only need look at our young people and the condition of many of our elders to see that message being mirrored back to us. So even for the Christian, for the Muslim, for the Jew, for the non-religious, a very simple jumping-off point for maintaining that connection and honoring that connection is to do something within those communities. I remember as a child, and I say a child because, you know, in our house it started as early as the fifth grade. During the summer, we weren't allowed free time. We had to volunteer. And I mean 6 hours a day, you know, at some institution, usually the hospital, because my father worked at that hospital at the time, D.C. General. But often in other, you know, nursing homes, other aspects of the community, and also with other young people, usually through music. But that is what has been disconnected in the school system. And so naturally it bleeds out then into our communities where we're not maintaining those structures. And those structures are the foundation of our communities. Once those are gone, the ability to come in and remove a community and put up a shopping mall or a parking lot or an industrial park becomes that much easier. Having you become a product of the system becomes that much easier because we've lost that foundation, that connection. So for me, it's crucial. Any entryway into the traditional African systems should begin with the ancestors and some understanding, some connection there. Some have, like Lakomi, take it a step further and go into lineage, which is wonderful. But I think across the board, we have got to begin to bring about a revolution of ancestral consciousness in order to begin to alleviate and find solutions to many of the ills that we are faced with now, today. And this is something, as Iwo Ifeasakin has already laid out, that transcends all the little petty stuff that we find to argue about. We all have grandmama, we all got granddad, we all got an ancestral connection that we can rely on, that we can connect with, that we can show reverence to bring unity across the board. The individual stuff is something that's personal, and it's not necessary for bringing about unity across paths, across divisions, across neighborhoods, you know, across distances even. Moonstone Shadow Wolf is also on the phone with us. Did you have a comment that you want to make, beloved?
Yes, I wanted to chime in. I really see the revisitation of us coming back is just a perpetual cycle. You know, either we signed on to do what we, you know, needed to do on another energetic level. Because these things that we're driven to do are innate within us, and then from that goes out, and then people come and find us in our outreaches. But I find it very amazing that the indoctrination of somebody who, you know, was great and pervasive, and he came from a particular bloodline, be whatever, you know, the pinnacle of that religion, be it, you know, David, be it, you know, Jesus, be it Muhammad, they had a family. So for us to go ahead and remember their family and to forbear our own is, to me, utterly outrageous.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Absolutely. And again, I want to also announce again, our phone number is 347-215-8967. If you have a question, comment, or request, please just press the number 1. We'll be glad to bring you into the conversation. We have several people actually online now who called in after our roll call. And we want to invite you, as well as the listening audience, by way of Facebook and MySpace and all the social networks and Blog Talk Radio, to please join in and be a part of the conversation. I am going to take just a short intermission. We have basically laid a foundation for today's conversation, and we will be forward with more of EFA Wednesdays.
Hey, Ellie Maestro, me at the come back again with the new style. Le.
Yawo me. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. Titi, yawo me. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. It do me. Hey. Like say, I don't take a low. They give you the reason. Your love, they give me the season. This time, na so wahala. Baby girl, they give me the fever. Baby girl, can I have your number so that we can see the club together? Make us feel you. Make you feel me. Wine, dance. At the club, hey. Baby girl, can I have your number? Come on, show gotcha for me. Yawo me.
Indeed, all is truly a blessing. We are taking your questions, comments, and requests at area code 347-215-8967. We do have our Ocholola Ifasakin from Georgia on the line with us. We also have Moonstone Shadow Wolf. You're in Missouri, right, Moonstone?
No, I'm actually, that's interesting that you say that. I live in Pennsylvania, but my mother's bloodline comes from Missouri.
Oh, okay, okay. Give thanks, man. That's just a pushing through.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes, it is. Right now, we don't have any questions. We have several people on the phone lines, but so far, no one has pressed the number one with their question or comment. So I'm going to allow for either of you to speak a little bit more, and then I'm going to go back to the phone lines while I try and stir up some comments from the listening audience.
Okay, as I was saying before, the honoring of our ancestors really begins with honoring your parents, and it's not something that ends with their death, and it's not, not limited to their physical life. Matter of fact, in several of the Odu Ifa, there are stories of how honoring one's parents or the spirit of one's parents is something that brings benefit, brings blessings into our lives. There's one verse from Enosu Meji, and I said this is just one of many Odu Ifa verses which speak on this. When one awakens, one would give praise. Praise is what elders do. Ifa divination was cast for Rumala. Baba awakened, he praised his father. Would my affairs be better at all, he asked. The Awos advised him to praise his father. Everything that one prays for while deeply meditating in the heart about one's father and mother would surely be achieved, because parents carry the authority of all of the Mari at home. They told him to praise his father for 7 days, and after 7 days, all great blessings would come. So, is the father who enriches a person, he asked. When one awakens, one would give praise. Praise is what elders do. Baba awakened, he awoke praising his father. Baba awoke praising his father. Baba has wealth. Baba has wives. Baba has children. Praise is what elders do. When I awaken, I will be praising my father and mother. Only the father and mother work for one's benefit. Praise is what elders do. When I awaken, I will be praising my father and mother, Ashe. This verse points out the importance of giving honor and praise to your parents. Here, Arumala, who is the prophet of Ifa, God's messenger, the one who brought Ifa to the world, definitely one who is very powerful, but even he needed his life enriched. He needed to have good things in his earthly life. And he was told to honor his father. Now, of course, Arumala's father is Olodumare himself. But the concept is the same about honoring your father. And if your father, if your parents are righteous people, they are also honoring God, and they are acting in the way that God has directed them to act. So giving honor to them is also giving honor to God. And it is important to do this so that you receive the blessing, you receive the good fortune that you want and need in your life. And again, this is not something that is limited to the earthly, physical lives of our parents. It
right.
goes beyond that. There is never any stipulation about this being limited to parents in the living flesh. And
mm-hmm.
if it were limited to parents of living flesh, we would have no concept of ancestors in the first place.
Right.
Yet we do have this concept of ancestors and honoring them because we must always honor our parents, and that means our parental lineage. It means our grandparents, great-grandparents, and so on, even beyond those that we personally know by name, because we all have ancestors beyond a level where we know the names of them, because nobody that I know of alive can trace their ancestry back to, you know, directly back to, you know, the first human. We all have ancestors whom we don't know by name, but they still need to be included in our prayers, need to be included in the honor and praise that we give our ancestors, because regardless of whether we know their names or not, they are very much responsible for the fact that we are here. They're very much responsible for the fact that we have a lineage at all. And if we had no lineage, we would not be here. And we must always understand that it is the shoulders of our ancestors that we stand upon. And for some reason, a lot of people these days just don't grasp the concept of honoring ancestors. But what's ironic is a lot of these same people will partake in holiday events, events which are based on honoring somebody who has passed. There are so many people who will not, give honor to their grandparents or their dead parents. Yet, you'll find them on Mother's Day and Father's Day and Veterans Day running out to cemeteries to bring flowers to the grave of their deceased loved ones. Yet at the same time, you're going to tell me you refuse to honor your ancestors. Something's not making sense there. Then you also have a lot of these same people who claim they refuse to give honor and praise to ancestors running out on Martin Luther King Jr. Day to participate in events honoring Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah.
And these folks just are not grasping the idea of what it is they're doing. And they do this, they get involved in all of this because everybody else is doing it. It's declared a national holiday, so yeah, we can participate. Okay, but don't you get it? Don't you understand the idea? We are, through these holiday events, honoring ancestors. That's what it's based on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look around, there's not a town in this nation where there is not something in place to honor ancestors at some level. Almost every
town hall or city hall across this nation has at least a plaque honoring dead people, people who have passed on, who have given their lives in order to make the society that we have today. There are statues of people who have passed on, people who, in many cases, people who have been murdered in the course of their mission. And people flock from all over the country and even all over the world to see these statues, to see these monuments. And in doing this, they pay homage to these ancestors. Yet, again, a lot of these same people will not sit in prayer to honor their own deceased grandparents and parents because they feel that they are either honoring ancestors as false gods,
yeah,
or they're just plain ignorant to the concept. Totally. And we have to raise the awareness of what's going on. I mean, people have days off from work for President's Day, Lincoln and Washington's birthday. All right, what is that about? That is about honoring the works of dead presidents. And we have people who will take part in this celebration every year. And they don't realize, hey, this is honoring ancestors. They may not be my ancestors, but they're somebody's ancestors, and I'm honoring them. If you're doing that, why can't you get on your knees or even just sitting in a chair and pray honoring your own ancestors, your own family? You know, are your own ancestors any less significant than George Washington? Are they any less significant than Abraham Lincoln? Are they less significant than Martin Luther King Jr. or Malcolm X? No, they're not less significant. As a matter of fact, for you personally, your own ancestors are more significant.
Sure.
Because these other ancestors who we praise and honor every day, every year, did not have an effect on your direct lineage and on your direct existence. Whereas your own parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and so forth did and do have a direct effect on your existence. And as a matter of fact, when we look back into the history of our families, many of us will find that our own ancestors of our direct family lineage, have done great things. They have been history makers. But we don't know this because these stories are not passed on the way the stories of the famous ancestors of others are passed on. But we need to do our research, get in touch with our family lineage, and find the great things that our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents have done. And we need to realize that great things are not limited to the actions that affect maybe a large community or a whole nation. To be a father, to be a mother who properly takes care of the children, who properly cares for the family, is a great task. It's a great accomplishment. It's doing something that really influences the lives of children and grandchildren. The way that our parents were raised and the way our grandparents were raised have a great effect on the way we are raised, and it affects the values that we come up with. It affects the way we look at things in life. So the things that our parents and grandparents did have great influence on us, and we need to honor our grandparents and our parents just for the fact that they are our grandparents and parents, regardless of whether they are still in living flesh or not.
Ashe.
Ashe.
Can you hear me, Bubba?
I hear you.
I have absolutely no control over the show right now whatsoever. My switchboard went completely blank as if we were off the air, and it is now counting down for tomorrow's show. So I can't see you. I can't see Moon Shadow Wolf. I can't see any of the people who are online. I think Moon Shadow Wolf was unmuted, so you could be heard if you said something. But anyone who was not muted prior to the switchboard going down, I have no access now to access you as a caller. I can't access any of my music. So it was basically you talking for the next hour.
Wow.
Until I could get Block Talk Radio to get me back in. And so far, they have not responded. So how we move forward is really up to the three of us at this point. We can either continue the conversation with what we got, just as we are, or we can end, you know, and try this again. But I'm open for whatever you all want to do.
Can you hear me?
Well, if you want to try and disconnect and call back in, and of course we invite all of our callers and listeners to call back in a few minutes. That would be great, and that may restore your control over the show. If not, I suppose we can keep talking. I'll need to go refill my lemonade.
And what were you going to say, Moonstone?
That's very interesting. That I see that from so many different indigenous or natural lines, because, for instance, the people, some of, you know, with my connection with the islands, a lot of people do not wish to be referred to anything African at all.
Mm-hmm.
There is a very deep scar there with the people because they figure that they were abandoned in some fashion or just given away. And lo and behold, even through the tyranny of slavery, and even, I mean, just the perpetualization of, like, the Stockholm syndrome, where you become to love your abuser, that they see them as a savior in a way. It also plays into the auspice of color psychology, you know, from which we are brought about, you know, light is good, you know, dark is bad. But it's very, very deeply, deeply rooted. And just really seeing that how all these other different moguls, such as, I'm to speak very generally, you know, the Pope and all these other different icons are just gathering gathering. Like, to me, the currency in a church, a masjid, or a synagogue is a way to facilitate the building. It is the energy of the people that keeps that mission driving. And I think that's something that people really, you know, just don't see. And also, they're taught to, as we stated last week, to have a modicum of suffering to get some type of eternal paradise. Do you understand my point?
I do, and I agree.
Absolutely,
I definitely agree.
Go ahead.
Pardon me, Prince. I want to chime in on one major thing too. This just coming from the First Nations standpoint, whereas the people who are here, all the different 500 tribes and many, many different bloodlines, have you have some of our older people still holding on to their whole Buffalo Soldier, you know, the Baco. But nonetheless, and I will say this, to be recorded forever, if it was not for and our brothers and sisters coming over from those tribes and what is called tying back into the vine and to that African mitochondria and that DNA with all the other different, turpentine in the water, the poisoning of the bison, the smallpox, you name it. If it was not for that reinfusion of that blood, the First Nations of this country would be dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes,
and we appreciate that. I'm going to try and disconnect and call back in. The only downside to that is if it does not work, I will not be able to get back in, and this would effectively be the ending point of today's show. So I appreciate both Moonstone Shadow Wolf and Ojolo Ifasakan for your continued support and commitment to Ifa Wednesdays and all of those who are listening now and listening in archive. I most certainly do appreciate you, and know that this is not my issue. This is a Blog Talk Radio issue.
Right. Just want to remind everyone that you are disconnecting and you want to try to reconnect so you can get the switchboard back. And in the process, if any of our audience is disconnected, please do try to call back in a minute. And hopefully everything will be okay. If you try to call back and cannot get in after a minute or two, then we may have lost the show for today. But please do try to call back in after about a minute, and hopefully everything will be working fine.
Ashe and Odabo.
Odabo. And I will see whether we get disconnected in the process of him disconnecting. Am I the only one still here? In hopes that Divine Prince Time Echo will be able to return to the show and have full access to the switchboard on Blog Talk Radio. Please be patient. Again, if you get disconnected, please try to call back in after about a minute, and hopefully everything will be in order. Thank you.
Divine, all blessed, peace and love. Several tricks I was able to get us back on air. Now, I don't know if I'm looking at an apparition or if all of my callers are still in. Baba Ifasakin, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, so this is not an apparition. You are actually here. We have several people who actually held on through whatever that was that just happened with the switchboard, and I'm truly honored by that. I really do not know what happened. At some point in the show, I lost control of the switchboard, and everyone, including myself, disappeared from view. And without that, I can't or could not control, obviously, you know, who could be heard, who was on mute, or anything else with the show. But everybody seems to be back in place. We got three people on from 610, someone on from 518, someone on from 678. Moonstone Shadow Wolf, is that you? Okay, I'm not sure if Moonstone Shadow Wolf is back with us. But we seem to be back on, Baba.
Excellent, excellent. I am so glad for that. It was a little bit of a fiasco there, but we've got things back in order. And for just a refresher for everyone, we are discussing Egungun, the ancestors, and the concept of honoring ancestors and being closer to our ancestors, reestablishing that relationship. And this is generally from an ATR, African traditional religion, perspective, but it extends far beyond just ATR. All humans have ancestors, and there is a need for all humans to honor their ancestors. We would not be here if it were not for our ancestors. We know that just biologically, without humans giving birth to other humans, the human existence would cease to be. So we are here, we are alive, because our ancestors were alive. And, of course, all of that is by the grace of the Almighty, Olodumare, God, Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah, Allah, whatever name or title you may call the Supreme Being, Ashe.
Ashe, and there is a saying in South Africa, I am because my ancestors are.
Exactly.
So we truly give reverence to the continued life, blood, and support of our ancestors. And I think as Africans born here in America, it is even more important for us to repair that connection. For many of us, that connection, as Baba stated earlier, has been severed, genetically speaking, at least in terms of our knowledge of the genetic tie and connection. But we've also been severed, I believe, at a spiritual level, as Moonstone Shadow Wolf tried to illustrate in terms of even our ability to conceive and understand our connection to that powerful force, but also our need for it. Moonstone, are you with us again?
Yes, I am.
I did want to give you an opportunity to continue. I felt you had more to say, and then we had the fiasco, as Baba said.
Yes. Speaking up about the, you know, about the, you know, the very beautiful, and it's interesting that we even refer to that as the you know, our beautiful red and black bridge, and you know, of course, in that pantheon, what red and black represents. So with the, you know, our bloods again, you know, intertwining, because as far as I'm, you know, as far as I'm concerned and have researched, the Dogons do the exact, almost the exact same thing as the Hopi people do when it comes in terms to rituals and even some of their regalia. Mm-hmm. We over in this hemisphere have a really unique foothold because we were purposely removed from many different things, and there were people that were over here prior to the whole occupation of the internment or slavery. But innately in us, you know, self-preservation and self-creation, I mean, they're intertwined, is the highest principle of all organisms. Removed from our language, removed from our cultures, removed from our drums, yet and still, all the way across our ocean, we still found a longing for it, and it returned back to us. And I will safely, I did a research also that a majority of the continent of Akebola or Africa is Christian or Muslim. Only not even 20% keep to their traditional ATR ways. Yet and still we are over here, you know, really holding that banner and shining that beacon. And no matter how hot that lantern gets, I speak for myself, I'm never letting go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, and it sounds that you have a similar understanding, I don't have a choice in this. I think some people feel they can sort of make a choice to honor or not to honor, to represent or not to represent, to remember or not to remember. And for me, it is really not a choice. It's not a show. It's not a production. It's not a means for fitting into something. It's almost as necessary as the air that I breathe, that I have this connection.
Yeah.
They speak to me. They commune with me. They assist me in all of my earthly endeavors. So there's nothing that I can take credit for without their divine intervention. And my experience, and I realize this is not everyone's experience, but my experience included a lot of pain, a lot of torment, a lot of depression, a lot of suicidalness, a lot of things that the presence and the awareness of the ancestors alone healed me from. So there's no way that I can now neglect them. There's no way that I can now turn my back, if you will, no more than, you know, some of you could give up your income or give up your grocery budget. You know, it's that strong an issue for me. But in looking at it in that way, it is now how I view most of the ills, if not all of the ills, that plague particularly our community. This cutting off, if you will, in the cycle, this not being aware. So how do we now, it's particularly those of us who are already actively claiming to walk within the tradition of Africa, how do we now bring about this revolution, if you will, of consciousness, this reemergence of the presence of our ancestors among the masses, and not just keep it within a individual perspective?
I would definitely point out the reverence to ancestors, which is going on already without people even fully realizing and understanding it, and pointing out that, as I said before, we are paying reverence, we're paying homage to ancestors that are not even our own ancestors. And we do this on a regular basis. And so we need to personalize that concept and bring it to our own families. And in bringing it to our own families, we bring it to our communities. And being that we do this as a nation without even thinking about it, there is really no reason why we can't come together as a people and do this culturally and consciously. We have to embrace the concept. concept of our own ancestors, and if we consider what we're already doing for ancestors that are not even our own, it's not that difficult a task. The main difficulty that we're going to encounter is, I believe, what I have encountered already in talking with friends and some other people who, you know, just have a problem with giving praise and honor to their ancestors, thinking that they're worshiping false gods, which is not the case. What you're doing is paying proper respect to past humans who were creatures of God just as we are. And in doing that, we are honoring God's work. We are honoring what God made these people to be, what God made our ancestors to be, and the missions that he sent them on in this life. So to honor our ancestors is not putting them in a place of God, not putting them on a pedestal as false gods. What we are doing is we are honoring God's work in honoring our ancestors. Just as God told us that we must honor our father and mother. Your ancestors are your father and mother several times removed. It's your, not only your immediate mother and father if they pass on, but it's your grandparents, great-grandparents, and so on. And again, in honoring them, we do honor God. We honor God's work. And we honor the role that God put them in. Ashe.
Ashe. Now, how do we further that? I know for me, it's as easy as looking at Kwanzaa. And even now, the difficulty that we have with some members of our own community in even the existence of Kwanzaa and the promotion of Kwanzaa. So I guess I'm looking for more practical things that we can do even from this full moment forward to foster the reemergence of that awareness.
I want to speak on that.
Please.
First and foremost, there are just different things that were done to us. And the best way that I can, if I were to put it into an adjective, would to say if there was an energetic transfusion. So we were removed from a lot of our natural vibration. If I ask a lot of different people, where do they come from? The first thing they'll go to is of course a geographic location. I said, I didn't ask where you reside. Where do you know your bloodline? And they don't know. That research, starting there, has to be the first. That has to be priority number one. The great Alex Haley did it, it took him years to do it, tracing back and all those other different things. There are a lot of things that can assist now. I don't know how comfortable people are with the whole, cotton swab and, genetic testing, but even if it has to go to that level to bridge that gap and to help us further comprehend, there comes a point where what the three of us, what we do, there is no quote-unquote English or anything done in that. It is in that pure pantheon of where we are in our vibration to where those things will come to us. For instance, the Blog Talk Radio Show. If I had one digit wrong, I wouldn't even be here. If I didn't know that frequency or if I didn't know the number to call in, I wouldn't get an answer.
Mm-hmm.
But the practicality... a lot of our people have been just walked into this historically and told over and over, this happened, that happened, and to mm-hmm. and again as healers, and also being griots are a part of our mission as well, to show the connection with that. And sometimes mm-hmm. it's just like anything else. If you are in a trauma center, to something's going on, they give you something, you may have a reaction to it, you know, where it forces them, no, that's not it. But, you know, it's just, again, you know, through repetition and through applied living, as you said mm-hmm. yourself, your divine prince and Baba, this is not something that, you know, like a college course. Oh, I think I want to take up, I don't know, wine appreciation 101. No, this is beyond destiny, beyond everything else. It is in every subcellular part of our being. Mm-hmm. And on that vibration, we call out to other people that will come in. But on that other level, we have to reach out from kind of a historic standpoint, historic/religion/practicality.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Baba said, Ifa Sakin said, it's not even, okay, we have access to DNA now. We have access to some scientific assistive, if you will. But as Baba said, I don't even think that it's necessary in the promotion of the honoring of ancestors. And as I said earlier in the show, I think it starts in just how we act with our children, how we act with our elders.
Yes.
We may know who our grandparents are, but our grandparents may no longer be with us in the physical, may have gone on, and we show them reverence, and we pour libations, and we give honor, and we have obituaries, and we have photographs, and we have items, you know, that belong to them. But I think an extension of that is going out and feeding the elderly. I'm finding some elderly person that you can shower the same honor as your own grandparents on. You know, there are many of us who don't have our own physical children, so we have a responsibility, particularly in the realm of healers and spiritualists, to care for children, not just those of our own. And I think a part of the cutoff in this culture has been the over-personalization, almost to the idea of property of ours, what is ours and what we nourish. We protect our child while we watch the other child walk out into the street. We honor our grandparent while we watch the next-door neighbor go all month without food or without asking, are you okay? So I think it's more than just about what we believe, but it's about what we do.
Yes, indeed.
And as you said, Moonstone Shadow Wolf, it's not a, you know, a course, a semester course. It's not a, you know, an idea that we sort of do on Sundays or do on Mayafa or do on special holidays. It's something that becomes a part of our everyday routine. It's hard for me even, you know, walk in the neighborhood to a senior, you know, without speaking, without saying hello, without showing some recognition, and the same way for a child. So when we look at the basic functioning of our communities, particularly in the big cities where, you know, you don't even know your neighbor's name, you know, what do they do, what's going on, we're completely disconnected. But then when we need, and we need healing, we need abundance, we need prosperity, we need cheering up, we need encouragement, then we're reaching out for a system that should already be in place, a system of support. So
right.
It becomes not just religion, not just honoring, not just reverencing, but something practical that we can lay our hands on each and every day.
And that's interesting. I agree 1,000%. And even to the resurrection story of how it happens in the Christian Judeo or you know, Islamic pantheon, you know, in parts of the continent, you know, when ancestors, in parts, like Benin and other different places, when the elders go, their soul transcends, goes under the water, and comes reincarnated back through children. And children and old people, as you stated, have the closest connection, you know, to the divine, and those two. And when we negate those, then we get, you know, we get a myriad of chaos. I mean, I would go out and perform at different senior centers, and they would just light up. They would hear that music, and I saw this particular lady get up. She was from St. Anne's, Jamaica, and she was, you know, and then she's, you know, doing her movements and everything, and I saw Oshun in her movements. I was like, what? You know, but they're sitting there, have them, you know, watching Golden Girls reruns and eating pudding all day, you know, and the wealth of knowledge that I got from her, there's not a passport big enough, you know, from what she told me from the time where she was little all the way on up to now. So now as she shared that with me, her legacy continues as I am sharing it today.
I want to touch on something that was brought up just a couple of minutes ago, and
sure.
That was the idea of it not being something that you do on specific days, and it's not the kind of thing you just go and take a course on. This is something that has to be part of our everyday lives. Anything that is spiritual, has to do with your faith, your religion, it cannot be isolated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to go into a house of worship once a week or once every 4 or 5 days or whatever the worship cycle is for you, that does not make your life whole. It does not save you. That does not bless your life.
There's compartmentalizing right. That goes on, Baba.
Exactly, but that compartmentalizing has to stop, and that's not only with African religions. That is with any system of belief. Right? You have to take your faith beyond the house of worship. You have to take your faith into everything that you do. And it must be part of our everyday lives. It must be part of what we do in our homes and what we do in our businesses and how we interact with other people outside. Everything can start in the home with what you do for yourself, with your family. And you build that comfort level of doing these things every day, let's say just taking time out to pray for the spirits of your ancestors and pay proper respect to them. You start doing that on a daily basis at home and including your family in it. You build a comfort level to the point where you can then go outside of your home and do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. For example, we see and hear Christians every day. They are at a comfort level with their faith where they can step outside and go in any situation, and they don't hesitate to say out loud, oh, thank you, God, thank Jesus, all praise be to Jesus, all this kind of stuff.
Right.
Because they have that comfort level in their faith, which started at home with their upbringing and was reinforced in congregating with other people in church and outside of church, and they bring that to their everyday lives. And not all Christians do that, but we have surely heard plenty of them who have that comfort level where they can freely speak of God and Jesus in anything that they do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Which, that in itself is a good thing. Now, we in African tradition,
traditional religions, too many of us are stuck in a mode of secrecy where we're not comfortable speaking about our faith or giving any evidence of our faith out in public. And now, New Orleans, I understand, is a unique situation. That's a special kind of place where you've got such openness with culture that I wish we had that kind of openness elsewhere. Right? But we have to build that comfort level of honoring our ancestors so that we can go outside and honor our ancestors. If we feel that our ancestors have provided some guidance or some support for us, and we sit in our homes and you know, we say, "Well, thank you, ancestors," or "Modupe egungo." Why then, if we're outside among other people and we feel at this particular moment that our ancestors have brought us to this specific point where something's good, things are in harmony, why can't we then just say, "I thank my ancestors, I give honor to my ancestors"?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The reason why we can't do it is because we haven't established that comfort level. And we must establish that comfort level by doing things every day, making it part of our life. Like I said, it starts at home, and you include your family. If you don't have family, you include your friends. And
now, Baba, is it possible to – Baba, I'm sorry. Is it possible to – have the well, let me rephrase it. Is it possible to have the comfort level without the commitment?
Without the commitment?
Yes.
No.
Is it possible to commit?
You must commit in order to have the comfort level, because you're never going to build that comfort level without commitment. You have to commit to doing it every day. You have to commit to embracing this in every part of your life. If you cannot commit to embracing it, then you will never be comfortable with it. Right? Just as again, using the example of Christians who will, you know, stop in the middle of everything seeming to go right, and they say, "Oh, praise the Lord," or "Thank you, Jesus."
Hallelujah.
Right? They have committed to their faith and committed to making it a part of everything they do in life. And without that commitment, they could not have that comfort level. And like I said, this goes for any faith, for any religion, any culture. Unless you commit to it, you cannot develop a comfort level with it. That commitment is definitely necessary. You have to make a conscious commitment. Say, "Okay, this is what I'm going to do." And then you need to change that statement from "this is what I'm going to do" to "this is what I'm doing." And we have to commit. That's a very valid question, and I'm hoping that our listeners are getting all this completely. You must make a commitment. And there shouldn't be a big problem in making a commitment to honoring your father and your mother, honoring your direct ancestors, and then honoring the group of our ancestors as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't be very difficult, especially when, as I pointed out before, we are already in the habit of honoring ancestors that are not our own.
That's right.
Ancestors that may not have had any direct effect on our own existence.
Mm-hmm. National ancestors.
Right.
Jefferson, Washington, Lincoln.
Turning that effort toward our own ancestors. Mm-hmm. It'd be easy and natural thing. And committing to that should also be an easy and natural thing. But the problem is we have to uncondition ourselves from things that we have been conditioned to. We have to unlearn certain things that we have learned.
Mm.
We have to adopt, I would say, something new, but it's not new. I mean, this has been around for as long as humans have been around. But it's new to us because we have been assimilated into a system that is foreign to us and even in some cases unnatural to us.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what we have been assimilated into. This is what we have adopted, and this is what we are embracing every day. As strange as it may seem, so many of our people embrace foreign things and reject the things that are native to their own bloodline.
Hey, you know what? I want to chime in on something.
Go ahead,
please.
And it was very interesting, and I know the three of us all share this. Even during the time, the church was many different things. It was a place you could, you know, go to, camaraderize, you could eat, you could, they did a lot of different things in the, you know, the southern part of the Pantheon and the Midwest, many other places. But even in the very songs that they would, you know, they would perform, like one of my favorites, even to this day, is In the Upper Room. I don't think people have an idea of really what that song is talking about. So even within those different African traditional religions, and even that they were doing something else, they still left codes and different things for us, for certain people to hear and to comprehend. I mean, even in the Bible, it's talking about astronomy. You know, how do you want to find your way through a desert? You have to look up at the stars. You have to chart and do different things. You know, even when it comes down to, you know, just the science in that, when it comes to royalty, when it comes to the, let me get it in my mind real quick. You know, like the different, I want to get the proper name for it, but, you know, the different, the breastplates, you know, when certain priests would do different things, they would have certain jewels and certain metals on them and burn different things. That's all through the Bible. But the point of them seeing that and pointing it out, you know, sometimes you have to have it in front of, you know, people's faces. One thing that I've learned just in business is documentation beats conversation. And that the same way that they were kind of indoctrinated or put or anesthetized and put to sleep is the very same way they're going to have to be awakened.
You know, that's the answer. And Baba said that when he said, we have to take it out of the secret. We have to remove the secret. We have to remove the mystery. And it's in the simplest thing. You know, I have a hoodoo superstition about money. You can't lay money down in my house with the faces up. I don't want to see George Washington. I don't want to see Lincoln. I don't need that vibration reestablished. You know, so it could be the simplest thing can be the undoing of the old programming. But it also has to be something that we're shameless and we don't have fear of, as Baba said, and that we can do outside of our secret rooms, outside of our houses, you know, outside of our temples, the way other religions project their beliefs, the way other cultures project their presence in the world.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the most powerful and pervasive cultures, such as even down to us. In ancient Kemet, Egypt, Addis Ababa, Ghana, Thailand, there are images of them. And being in their own power and at the same time grabbing the destiny by two ends, they're able to pull forward. You will never see a Russian Buddha in China. It's not going to happen. It will never happen. They understand, they comprehend, and even down from top to bottom, you know, it's not going outside, you know, that diaspora and blaming something else. And a lot of, I come from four generations of ministers. And a lot of that, just by religion, in a lot of ways is comfortable because there's always an alibi. There's always something else to go ahead and cast off. But in the Pantheon and ATR and indigenous different practices, you are accountable for everything you do by way of the influence of the divines and nature and how you handle that. There is no escape goal. You are not only responsible for you, but for at the same time for a lot of other people who need you. It is almost the exact reverse thing. That's why a lot of our people have a hard time grasping that.
I was telling a young man just the other day that becoming a man is accepting responsibility for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we try to, well, let me not say as we try, because at least the three of us are not just trying, but as we promote our traditions and as we promote the concept of honoring our ancestors, we really have to be responsible for other people. And we take on that responsibility of teaching, leading, counseling, helping others find their way. And that's something that we have to do regardless of what may be going on in our personal lives. You know, we could experience death in the family, any number of life's problems we could encounter, end up having to deal with enemies who don't want us to succeed in what we're doing. But regardless of what we go through in our personal lives, we still have to be responsible for other people and take on that responsibility willingly and wholeheartedly. It's, you know, just who we are and what our position is. And that's not only the position of spiritual leaders, priests, and so forth. That is the position of a father, a father and a husband. You have to take on the responsibility at least for your own family. And as we do that, as we become fathers and husbands and operate in our roles of spiritual leadership and counseling, we get to the point where we are the ones who are being honored by our juniors, by the young ones coming up. And we will get to the point where we pass on, and hopefully if we have done our job right, it will be honoring our spirits along with those who we have honored ourselves. And it is our
duty in life to conduct ourselves properly so that we will get to that point of honor.
Okay.
I think we have, we've run over the 2 hour limit. I think we're on archive now.
Yeah, we have been for a few minutes. And as always, I certainly appreciate each and every one of you for being present here on E5 Wednesdays and the Power Lunch, Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes with the Divine Prince. Baba, if you have more to say, I'm going to allow you that opportunity. And, of course, Moonstone Shadow Wolf. Any of our callers, if you have anything to say in these last moments, you need to press #1 right now. Otherwise, we are going to end the show, and we will welcome you back again on tomorrow at noon and always on Wednesday at noon for E5 Wednesdays on the Power Lunch. All is a blessing.
Yeah, I just want to say in closing, this will be my closing statement, which is just to repeat and emphasize what I've said before. Honoring our ancestors is something that should be natural, and we can't be secret about it. We're already doing things honoring national ancestors, ancestors that are not our own, who have not directly influenced our lives. We need to take that action and be more conscious with it, be committed to it, and honor our own ancestors who have directly affected our lives. And it is with our ancestors' existence that we are able to exist now. Honoring our ancestors is honoring our parents. And honoring our parents is not something that is limited to this earthly life. There is nothing in any religion that I know of, there's definitely nothing in Christianity that limits honoring one's parents to something that is to take place in only this physical life. So we must always honor our parents, whether they are in living flesh or not. And it is through honoring our parents that we are blessed. When we honor our parents, we also honor our Creator. And we honor what He made our parents to be and the mission that He sent them on in this life. With that, embrace your ancestors. Thank them for their existence and yours. Above all, thank God for all that we are, all that we have been, and all that our ancestors are. Ashe.
Ashe. Moonstone, did you have more to say?
Yes. Thank you, Baba, for that wisdom that you've imparted to us. And we're thankful and grateful for that. I'd like to point out two things. One, when a child is distraught from a very young age, prior to them learning about religion, prior to them calling out to whatever deity or conduit that they have been taught to do, the first thing they do, they will cry for their mother or their father. That is innate in them to do that. That's that ongoing connection. And as we grow older, we've kind of sort of, through many of the different things, removed from that. And the honoring of our ancestors is paramount because they gave unto from their life force so that we may continue. And even after they go materially, their blood, their energy, and everything else travels through us. So they honor us by giving us life force and continual perpetual blessings. So it is only right that we in turn do the same thing and magnanimize that even more. And that's my ending comment.
Ashe. And it is from my elders that I've noticed and learned that they look to the children when we speak of ancestors. So it is a cyclical, never-ending, circular process of representation and recognition of that which has come before us and that which lays ahead. We placate and honor and feed our ancestors that our path present and forward will be unobstructed, will be fruitful, and this includes our children. Many of us on our ancestor altar also have ibejis, which often represent children. Some of us in the voodoo path have marasa, which has a third icon with the ibeji that represents the birth, the new birth of the child, little baby, Eshu, if you will. So it is a continuing cyclical process of honor and recognition and reverence. And we must teach each generation after us to continue the process of reverence and honor. But right now, in order to fill the gap, as all of our guests have suggested, we must share it, we must teach it, we must be free, we must be unobstructed. Our friends, our family, our elders, it must become a part of our everyday language, the honor, the recognition of our ancestors. And with that, I'm going to say, divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. Until next time, remembering that all is truly and indeed a blessing here at High Noon U.S. Central Standard Time with the Divine Prince and the Power Lunch, Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes, and of course always on Wednesdays for E5 Wednesdays. Until next time, divine peace and blessings, joy and prosperity. Ashe.